Take your Bibles for a moment. Go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. I'll share a thought with you.
I don't know if it'd be preaching or what we're doing. I want to give you a thought this evening. It's been on my heart for a little while for this meeting. And maybe Lord do something with this for just a moment. Don't want to be long. Brother Voles is going to preach to us tonight. And the only man I know can preach longer than I do is Brother Keith Foles. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They told me what you said at Ridgeview the other week, so paybacks. Amen. Deuteronomy 11. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I trust you'll listen for just a moment. I want to just deliver my heart to you and see if the Lord... Amen. Let this thing grow on us. And we need a breakthrough. We need God to help us. And I hope you're not just here. I hope you're not just in the building. I hope your heart's in it. Jeremiah 29, we've been preaching through that for several weeks. And the Lord said that you are going to search, seek me, and you're going to find me when you seek for me with all your heart. And your heart's got to be in it, young folk, or you're not going to get anything out of this meeting. You won't get anything when you go back home. You won't be getting anything a year or two or 10 years from now if you don't get your heart in seeking after the Lord. And we trust that maybe the Lord will help us. Stand for just a moment. Let me read several verses to you. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 1, the Bible said, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. What he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how he made the water, the Red Sea, to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel." And all that, verse number 2 down through verse number 6, hinged on Moses telling the people that their children had not known and that they had not seen these things that he's just walked them through. But listen to verse number 7. The Bible said, "But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did." And I'm going to leave off my reading there. We may try to get into verse 8 and 9 here in just a moment. But I'm going to deal with this evening. Go ahead and give you our thought. I want to talk to you, preach to you just a moment on the thought. You've got to see it for yourself. You've got to see it for yourself. There are two crowds in this text. And there's one, Moses said, they have not seen these things. They've not seen it. And I'll deal with what it is in a moment. But he said, they've not seen this. And he lists these things, Brother Grant, he lists them out in detail. And he called them mighty things. He called them miracles. He called them great acts of the Lord. And these are monumental things that Moses begins to recollect. And Brother Riley, he comes down to the end of it. He said, "They may be a crowd who ain't seen it, but," he said, "I'm talking to a crowd that has seen these things with their own eyes." Young people, you can be seated. There's going to have to come a day in your life where you see it for yourself. In the context of the book of Deuteronomy, of course, we understand that the book of Deuteronomy is the second rehearsal of God's law. It is a time where Moses, he's getting ready to go off the scene. Israel has been wandering for 40 years, and they're getting ready to go into Canaan land, and Joshua is going to lead them across. And one of Moses' last acts, one of Moses' last parts of his ministry was to sit down with the people of God and give them again the law of God concerning all the things that God had commanded, the way God would have them live when they got into Canaan's land. And he's rehearsing all of this again. And in the midst of rehearsing the law of God to them again, the second time, over and over, he recollects and gives a recollection of the 40 years of Israel's history and has brought them to this very moment in time of their crossing into Canaan's land. In Deuteronomy 11, Moses is speaking directly to this crowd, according to verse number 7, that are those who had seen some things from God 40 years earlier. We understand that when they got brought out of Egypt, it wasn't long God brought them to Kadesh Barnea. And it was God's will that they go into Canaan land 40 years prior. We know the story and how the spies were sent and came back. We all heard the Sunday school song, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And we understand that story. And then that rebellion against God and that rebellion against God's plan and God's will for them to enter into Canaan land. God pronounced that everybody over the age of 20 was going to die. And now we're at that time. They've all passed off of the scene. And the Lord through Moses is speaking to this crowd of elders now. Now they are old men and they are old women. They have reached maturity. And Moses is talking about a time when they were young that they had seen these things for themselves. Many of them would have been teenagers 40 years prior. They were maybe not even started their families. They were young people 40 years ago that had the privilege to be raised in an environment and in an atmosphere where they were able to see these things for themselves. They didn't have to hear about things from mom and dad. My friend had to read about it in books. They didn't have to have prophets and preachers come by and tell them about the good old days. These are individuals that had seen some things for themselves. This evening we consider the fact and the thought that you've got to see it for yourself. Nobody can see God for you tonight. Nobody can see God's power, and we'll see some of that this evening, hopefully in the text. But nobody can see revival in your life. You must see it for yourself. God and the things of God and the Word of God and the will of God and the plan of God and the power of God in your life is something that you must see for yourself. And so tonight we understand there was a generation who had not yet seen it, but there is a generation and a crowd in the text that has seen some things for themselves. I don't know this evening that I don't know if I could even stress it enough tonight, the necessity to your and to the survival of your spiritual life that you personally see the Lord and the things of God for yourself. We're living in a generation that is as blind as they've ever been. We live in a generation that is more, it would seem, is more disinterested in the things of God and seeing God and seeing truth and seeing the old time way as there's ever been. And this evening we must understand that it is a necessity to your spiritual life that you see the Lord for yourself. This evening what he can do is something you've got to see for yourself. I'm glad tonight that we can see some things for ourselves. I'm not running in what Papa said tonight. I'm not running in Mamaw's faith tonight. I'm not running tonight on my daddy's faith. There's a time in my life where the Lord allowed me to see some things for myself. I thank God for every preacher I've ever heard. I thank God for every Christian friend I've ever had. But the fact of the matter is tonight, there was a time in my life as God was working, that I allowed God to reveal some things to me. Amen. Like many of the churches and pastors, we have live stream, and the longer we're on live stream, more people in our community find out. And it's amazing how many of them will call me and reach out to me. I guess they think I'm some dumb hacking preacher that ain't got a clue what I believe. They'll reach out and they'll begin to try to argue about doctrine and about church and about worship and about it ought to be this way versus the way you do it. And I try to politely respond to them by trying to say something like this: you're too late, amen, to try to convince me away from what I believe at and how I worship and my walk with God and what it ought to be, because I've seen some things for myself. Amen. And what we need in Smoky Mountain Youth Revival this year is for some young folk that get a vision of the Lord. And I'm not talking about charismatic, crazy stuff. I'm just talking about by faith getting a vision and seeing of the Lord and what He can do and what He desires to do in your own life. Amen. Have you seen some things for yourself? Amen. Hey man, have you seen some things for yourself? Let me ask you tonight, have you seen it for yourself? I'll give you a few things out of the text this evening and we'll get out of the way, but I want to talk about for just a moment out of verse number 7 and really the whole spirit of the verses that we read tonight. I believe we could derive a thought about the privilege of seeing it for yourself. It is a privilege to be able to see the Lord for yourself. Amen. It's clear from the text that not everyone had seen. Amen. Moses said, there is a generation that has not seen this. And we understand, Brother Moss, the history that leads us into Deuteronomy 11. There was a generation gone by that had the opportunity to see it, and they turned from it, and they rejected it, and they wanted their own way, and they wanted Egypt, and they wanted to go backwards and not forwards, and so they turned away from sin, and so there's some that have not been able yet to sin. There's others that could have and have turned away, and yet when Moses speaks in his trial, he said, but your eyes have seen. When I read that, Brother Jonathan, it tells me that Moses is dealing with a privilege this crowd had. It is a privilege tonight. It is a privilege tonight to be able to see it for yourself. I want to say tonight, seeing it for yourself, it does not come by force. It does not come by coercion. Hey, it's not going to come by you being guilt-tripped into it. If you're going to see it, listen, if you're going to see it for yourself, it is going to come by the grace of God. Amen. Giving you an opportunity and passing by and shedding the light and opening the way and you responding to that grace that is being given. Here's what Paul said. Here's a verse for you about the grace of God. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath what? It hath appeared, that's a sight word, hath appeared unto all men. Do you realize tonight the privilege that we have this evening in being raised the way that we've been raised at and in the environment that we're in tonight, how that the grace of God would even give us an opportunity to see it? If you see it, it won't be because you're so super duper. If you do see it for yourself, it's not just going to be because you was born in some great family this evening. If you see it for yourself, it's going to take God moving your direction and you responding and recognizing what a privilege it is that God would even let me see anything. Amen. Amen. I think about Moses stating, but your eyes have seen. What a privilege he seems to be bestowing and reminding them that they've had, that they weren't living, listen, they weren't living off old stories. They're not living on the coattails of others, but God has allowed them to be around some things and observe some things that are not like that crown that remained unaffected. They have been very influenced and affected because of what God let them see for themselves. It's a privilege tonight. I wish, young people, you could understand tonight how the privilege it is to grow up in your Christian home. I understand maybe everybody don't have that tonight, but by and large, I'm assuming tonight that many of you, the fact that you go to the church that you go to, that God has privileged you to be raised around the presence of the Lord and around Bible preaching and prayer and old time singing and old time worship. And I wish tonight somehow it can be branded into your heart, and that is a great privilege that God has given you. It's a privilege tonight. Oh, God help us. The Bible is full of men who had the privilege that had talked about a privilege they had to see the Lord. I think about Simeon in Luke chapter number 2 as an old man that received a promise as a young man that he'd not see death till he should see the glory of God. And that day they brought the baby Jesus in there, and he saw, his eyes saw Jesus, and the Holy Ghost revealed who Jesus was to him. He testified of himself, and mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. I think about Job and what a story of a man who in the beginning of the book is testified of the Holy Ghost as being a man that was perfect in his generation, a man that eschewed evil, a man that had a relationship with God. And we know all that was taken from Job and all that he endured and all the conversation and the banter back and forth between his friends. And in the end of the story, it is the Lord that reveals himself to Job, and in Job 42 in the verse number 5, here's what that man said. He said, after I've been through what I've been through, after all the heartache and all the loss, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now man has seeth thee. Job, a spiritual man, a praying man, a holy man, said that God let me see him for myself. Amen. Amen. I think about Isaiah in Isaiah 6 and in verse number 1. He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. I think about Stephen and the stoning there and his martyrdom and his death. Acts 7 verse 55 and 56 said that when they stoned him, Stephen saw the glory of God, and then he saw Jesus. He testified, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. All these men saw something for themselves. And some of them in their dying hour, some of them in their hour of sorrow and loss, and some in their old age, and we can go on and no doubt find other men that got to see the Lord for themselves, and all of them walk away. All of them have a spirit about them that they understand. This is a privilege for God to reveal himself to me. It's a privilege tonight. It's a privilege tonight. Lord, I got to hurry. Hey, man, we're in a youth meeting, so we can go a little while. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus testified that it is a blessing and a privilege for you to see him. For you to see it, we'll get to it in a moment, but for you to see it for yourself, Jesus pronounced that is a blessed thing. Here's what he said. He said in Matthew chapter number 16, Brother Webb, he asked his disciples the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
And they said, well, some have been watching you. They think that you're one of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist raised from the dead, or some other prophet. And Jesus turned and he said, well, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter stepped up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Y'all remember what Jesus said? We remember his confession. Have you ever thought about what Jesus said to it? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Don't listen. Don't label me tonight. Amen. Don't you put a big C on my forehead. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, it is a blessing for God Almighty to pass by your little world and your little family and your little life and reveal himself and who is saved and what the gospel is to your life. Amen. That ain't a burden. Some of you act like it'd be a burden to see God tonight. Some of you act like it'd be a burden if God, amen, was to open your eyes and let you see old time holy living's the right way to go. Jesus said, Simon Barjona, you are blessed for having seen these things. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Amen. Every preacher in the building has been told, amen, after preaching a hard message on sin or holy living or, amen, tithing or getting rid of your country music or, amen, whatever it is, they'll come up and they'll say, Brother Lindsay, I just don't see it that way. I guess you don't. I don't see it that way. I don't see what the big deal is. Are you kidding me? Amen. Amen. Jesus said, it is a blessing to be able to see these things. Amen. 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 Twice in the Lord's earthly ministry. And I read one of them, Luke chapter number 10, I believe it is, in verse 23. You can look at it. In fact, turn there with me. Luke chapter number 10. The Lord is traveling with his disciples. And they're ministering and there are crowds and the Lord is teaching and doing miracles. And in the midst of all the ministry, the Bible said in verse 23, Luke 10, 23, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, listen, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. In other words, y'all are the ones that have stayed close to me. You are the ones that responded when I came calling. You have forsaken all and have fallen me. And now you're seeing things others ain't seen. Those that you've left behind have not seen what you have seen. And my friend, I'm telling you, the Lord is saying the fact that you've been able to see it for yourself, and it is a blessing to your life. Amen. Listen, do you think it'd be a blessing tonight for you to see things that nobody else has saw? Amen. Do you think it'd be a blessing tonight for the Lord to let you draw so close to him tonight that, my friend, you would forsake everything and leave everything that was hindering you and holding you back so that you can walk with the Lord and he might reveal some things to your life? Here's what Jesus went on to say in verse 24, for I tell you, and many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Jesus said, there's a lot of people came before you, they was trying to see something to satisfy their soul. And they may have tried it in women. They may have tried it in booze. They may have tried it in the pleasures of this world. They can never see, they can never fade those things that had satisfied that had longing on the inside of man. But you, fellas, you have seen things others could only dream about seeing. Is this making sense? I'm talking about a privilege. I'm talking about a blessing. After the parable of the sower, and the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and said, why are you talking to them in parables? And the Lord began to quote again from Isaiah chapter number 6. After that, Isaiah had saw the Lord and his heart was broken. And the Lord began to quote there later on in that text what Isaiah had to say about the people of God. In Matthew chapter number 13, I want to get this right. Matthew chapter number 13 and in verse number 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. That is, you had the opportunity to see it. It was brought to you to see it. It was opened up for you to get a hold of. But Isaiah said, you turned away from it. Why? Notice what he said, verse 15. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Some ain't seeing it tonight because you have closed your eyes to truth. You have shut God out. You have made up your mind. You ain't going with God. You're going with your little podcast. You're going with your little buddies. You've had an eyes, amen, and you've closed your eyes to God, and you've opened your eyes to the wrong thing. And listen, there is a, I ain't got time to develop all of this, Brother Keith, there is a connection to you being able to see it for yourself that is rooted in the condition of your heart. If your heart does not value that, amen, as a privilege, as an opportunity, as a blessing from Almighty God, you'll close your eyes to every spiritual truth that comes your way. Amen. Seeing, you can't see. Oh, you're all around and you see everybody else waving their hand in worship. You see others with tears off their cheek. You see others that are praying and living for God. And you're seeing it, but in seeing it, you don't see it. Amen. Amen. He said in verse 16 to his disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your eyes. Do you have blessed eyes tonight? Are your eyes blessed? Have you seen God for yourself? Have you seen it for yourself? The Lord said, boys, the reason I'm speaking in parables, that crowd is not interested in truth. If I did reveal it, they wouldn't see it. They would turn away. They would close their eyes. They have hardened their heart. They have dulled their ear. But you are blessed because you've not reached a place where you've got over being able to see it for yourself. So many tonight have lost sight that it is a privilege, and all the privilege it is of being raised up in an environment that you can see it for yourself. And so Moses said, but your eyes have seen. You have seen God has been faithful, and God has been revealing himself, and God has been doing things among you, and you didn't turn away when he showed up, and when he began to move, you didn't close your eyes, and when he began to speak, you didn't shut off your ears, and when he began to touch your heart, you did not resist. Amen. He's saying, but your eyes have seen. What a privilege to see it for yourself. Amen. Amen. How we do it? Number two, I'm hurrying on. Amen. Notice with me in the text the particulars in seeing it for yourself. Moses is very clear and gives him a detailed list of the things that are a part of it. Amen. Now, when I'm talking about tonight, seeing it for yourself. If you saw it for yourself, you know what I'm talking about already. Amen. Those that have seen it, seen the Lord, seen his word, seen truth, seen a relationship with God for yourself, you know what it is. Some of you going, I don't know. Is that, amen, is that Brother Ledbetter's cousin? All right. Amen. I'm not talking about tonight. Amen. Something that is carnal. I'm talking about it. Amen. I'm talking about it. And Moses is going to list it all out. And he said, there's a generation that has not seen it with their own eyes. But here are the things that you have seen for yourselves. Let me tell you about the particulars tonight, and I'll derive three out of the text quick as I can. Number one, amen, I see there is the recollection of the power of God. When he begins to talk about seeing it, he starts with, notice in verse 2, he said, the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts. Where did all of this take place? When did this happen? He said, Brother Ash, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. It's amazing that when Moses begins talk about you've seen it for yourself, that the starting place where that begins is with God hearing the cry of a bunch of vagabonds and a bunch of crowd that is weeping and crying by reason of their affliction under bondage to Pharaoh, under the slavery of Egypt. And God heard their cry and sent them a deliverer, and by the power of God brought them out into liberty. And I tell you tonight, all through the book of Deuteronomy, here's what you'll find. Moses is still excited about what he saw for himself when God brought him out of Egypt. He had never got over it, honey. Amen. It never got wore out in his mind. He never got cold, Brother Jared. He never got casual. He never fainted over all that. It wasn't old news. It wasn't yesterday's newspaper. It was still reading fresh in his life. And over and over and over, he talks about the power of God that delivered them. Amen. May I say tonight, if you have not seen the power of God in deliverance from sin and saving you, my friend, from the judgment and the wrath of God, and is set against every sinner, if your life by the power of God has not been changed, if you're yet in your sin, you must understand you've got to see it for yourself. Amen. This is where it all starts. And if you ain't seen this for yourself, whatever else he's going to mention means nothing tonight. There are so many that are having to be coerced. I don't mean to be cranky tonight. I don't mean to be a jerk to you young people. I love you tonight. Could it be the reason you feel like your mom and daddy is just such a burden on your life, and they're dragging you here and dragging you there, and they're trying to drag you to a spiritual life? It is because you have yet to see the power of God in salvation for yourself. Jesus said about his disciples and the saved that his commandments are not grievous. There's a time before I got saved. Hey, man, I hated church. I hated mom and daddy's rules. You know why? I was still under the bondage of sin. Hey, man, you let doubt. Listen, I didn't dare do a lot of things in front of daddy's face. But I'll tell you this, you let daddy turn his back, there was sin on the inside of me. I zed up with it. But I'm glad to tell you tonight that I have seen the power of God for myself. I know what it is to see condemnation. I know what it is to see myself a rotten, hell-bound, deserving sinner. And I was, friend. I've seen that for myself. And I'm glad, thank God, I say the gospel for myself. I've seen Jesus pleading and dying for me. I've seen my friend the Holy Ghost again to work in my life. I watched as the Lord allowed the power of God to bring me out of sin. Amen, that's right. I've seen it for myself. I've seen it for myself. I ain't got to be told about it. I ain't got to be whipped up about it. I've seen it, Brother Daniel. I've seen it for myself. Oh, that's right. Have you seen it for yourself? Hey, Hey, pastor's kid, have you seen it for yourself? Oh, church kid, have you seen it for yourself? You see, you got to get saved same way every drunkard in this county's got to get saved. You ain't going to sneak in. You ain't going to sneak in. And all that sin and all that appetite for sin, it's going to take you seeing the power of God for yourself. And until you see it, and until you see it, all this is going to be boring. All this is going to jam your style. I'm about to feel like preaching, Brother Keith. Amen. I'm telling you, all this is going to be nonsense. You'll have an ad. You'll have an ad. Amen. Trying to see the far country and waiting on a convenient time to rise in your life to run to it. I'm telling you, you ever see the power of God for yourself, you'll say, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God he heard my cry. Thank God he came to where I was. Thank God he made it real in my life. Have you seen it for yourself? Have you seen the power of God for yourself? And here's what Moses said. He said that power of God didn't just end. It didn't just end when God brought you out. And we know the story. I'll nutshell it all. Moses brings it all in a verse. He said he didn't just get you out. All them things he did to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, all them plagues. Hey man, he got you out by the blood of the Lamb. You went out in ranks of fire. You went out with a high hand. And the power of God brought you out. Then old Pharaoh had a change of heart. Amen. He gonna try and drag him back. You know the devil wants to do all he can, drag you back to the same old bondage. But here's the power of God. God had an answer for that. Amen. You know the story. Amen. Of the Red Sea crossed it. Oh, yes. Amen. God opened up a way. Other actually let them walk across on dry ground. And he brought them out. And about the time Pharaoh was going to try, the Lord just let the waters just drown them all. You know what God was doing? He was displaying his power. You know what the power of God does? It makes it impossible for you to go back. I know what the Bible says. Some can forget they've even purged from their old sin. Amen. The only way they could have gone back, they wasn't going back the same way God brought them out. Amen. If they're going to go back, and that crowd, you know that mixed multitude that whipped up certain of the Israelites and said, we want to go back to Egypt. Why? After God displayed his power, the only way they could go back, they're going to have to build a raft. They're going to have to kayak or doggy paddle. God ain't opening up a way for them to go back where his power, amen, delivered them from. Oh, yes, friend, I'm telling you tonight that when the power of God has been seen for yourself, I'm telling you it not only delivers you and saves you, it'll change your life, it'll make a difference in your life, it'll separate you from what you used to be. Have you ever seen that for yourself? I'm telling you, I can take you tonight. If you want to go on an 8-hour ride with me tonight, we can go to Canton, Michigan. I'll show you where the power of God was seen in my life. Where it all got turned around. Where the things I used to hate, I began to love. And the things I once loved, I began to hate. And the power of God made that possible. Have you seen that for yourself? I don't mean to be a jerk tonight. Amen. Some of y'all, you've seen every YouTube video there is. You've seen every music video. You've seen every hunting video. You've seen every bass caught on YouTube. Have you ever seen the power of God? That's right. That's right. Some of you girls, you've seen every fashion show. Amen. You've seen, I don't even know what y'all girls look at. You've seen it, ain't you? Hey, say amen, Brother Ash. You've seen it, ain't you? I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever seen the power of God? Take me to the place where you saw it. Moses, now he ain't going back. that he could sure tell you about a day that a lamb's blood was shed and a plaid for him, and God by power brought him out and take you to the place at brink and stand at the Red Sea and say, right there, that's where it all ended. That's where the land was drove. That's where God brought me out. That's where I saw the power of God. You got to see it for yourself. Notice with me in verse, I'm hurrying. I don't guess I am. I'm enjoying this. Let me tell you something tonight. You got to see it for yourself, the recollection, the power of God. Notice with me in verse 5, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. In one verse, Brother Settle, in one verse, he just puts it all in a nutshell, and he's giving them a recollection, and they have seen the mercy of God for themselves. He said, think about all the things he did for you the last 40 years. He gave you water when you're thirsty. He gave you manna from heaven when you're hungry. And when manna wasn't enough and y'all got belly aching about loathing this like bread and grumbling and complaining, God sent you some quail meat along the way, and you wasn't even satisfied with that, and he just kept putting food on the table. You didn't deserve any of it. You was a bunch of crybabies. You was a bunch of little sissies. You thought you knew better than God did. But God just kept on taking care of you. And he made a table in the wilderness. He gave you drink. He made sure your clothes never wore out. He made sure you never outgrew your sandals. He was good to you when the enemy came along and should have and would have wiped you out. God would let the sun stand still. And God would send miraculous victory. You didn't deserve none of that. God shouldn't have let you starve to death. God shouldn't have let you die in the drought. God shouldn't have let the enemy overrun your life. But you saw it for yourself. God stepped in. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for his mercy tonight. I'm here only by the mercy of God. And the last 28 years of being saved, I've seen time and time and time again God's mercy for myself. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't deserve it, hallelujah. And you don't deserve it. I thank God I've seen it for myself. I've seen his mercy in the secret place answer prayer. Oh, yes. I've seen his mercy display in the midnight air when my heart was busted open and God came back and God's mercy wrapped his arms around me. I've seen that for myself. Glory to God. Brother Poindexter, I've been there. I've been there when I didn't know what to do. I didn't know up from down and left from right. And I'd have sure made a mess of the direction of my life. But God in mercy, let me see his mercy for myself. And I'm here tonight not because I'm super duper. I'm not. By the way, you youngins aren't either. Only reason you're making it tonight, there's a God in heaven who made a promise that my mercy will be to all generations. All generations. Amen. This ain't exclusive to the Deuteronomy 11 crowd. Oh no, this ain't just for Moses. This ain't just for Joshua and Caleb. Jonathan, this is to all generations. You can see it if you want to see it. You can see it if you draw up to God. You can see the mercy of God for yourself. I don't want to depress you tonight, but in the generation you youngins are living in, you're going to need a relationship with the mercy of God. There's things coming your way if things don't turn around. And listen, I know all the prophecies in the last days, it's going to wax worse and worse. Evil men going to rise up, and they are. What are you going to do about it? Tell you what you better do about it. Hey, some things you better see for yourself. If you ain't got a relationship where you've seen, you've allowed God to let you see for yourself his mercy, you're going to be in trouble. Have you ever seen it? That mercy. Oh, it was mercy got them out of Egypt. It wasn't just power. You see mercy and power is working together back there. Mercy and power is keeping them through the wilderness. Moses just in one verse said, what about those things he'd done to you in the wilderness? Have you seen God done some things in your life? Does that make sense? Have you seen God done some things? Tell me what you've seen God done. Tell me what you've seen God done. Don't tell me about what grandma said he done. Don't tell me about what the preacher said he saw God done. Tell me what you have seen for yourself. You seen any prayers answered? Maybe because you ain't been praying. Amen. Have you seen the reality of the presence of God in worship? Tell me about it. Oh, that is mercy tonight. I've seen the mercy of God for myself. Amen. Well, I feel good. Moses said, you have seen the power of God for yourself. You've seen the mercy of God for yourself. Then he gives him a negative story. See, some of y'all think preaching's always supposed to be happy, happy, positive. Moses said, I tell you something else you've seen. You seen that day Dathan and Abiram rose up with Korah. Stand against the man of God. Let me give you the point and I'll develop it in just a second. He said, you have seen for yourself the holiness of God. Korah and Dathan and Abiram raise up against God's man, God's authority for their life. There's a crowd there of young teenagers, some of which are Korah's own sons. And they stand there that day, and maybe in their mind they're thinking, what in the world is going on? Moses in the previous chapter, Numbers 15, that chapter ended with Moses telling them what they're to wear and how they're supposed to dress and appear in public. Go back and read it. Some of y'all say, that ain't in there. I promise you it's in there. Numbers 15 ended, Moses said, if you're a Jew, you need to put a blue ribbon on the bottom of your garment so everybody can identify you're one of us. And that's God's word. Number 16 begins, Brother Poindexter, I know I'm right, but you can check me. Now, Korah. Now is a time word. Now. Didn't have no problem till the man of God began to expect some things out of them. Amen. When Moses started preaching a little tighter and they wanted to live, who made you prince over us? Who died and made you king? We're going back to Egypt. We're going to get our own leader. Moses called a showdown, drew the line, said, if you're on their side, get over there. If you're on God's side, get over here. Here's what they seen in all of that. Y'all ready? The holiness of God. They saw the holiness of God in that they saw for themselves nobody sins and gets by with it. They watch, Brother Wesley, they watch that day. And what a picture verse number 6 is painted of what rebellion and sin does in the life of anybody. They were eyewitnesses of it. And they were swallowed up. They themselves were swallowed up. You know that's what sin does tonight? Sin will swallow you. You let a little bit of rebellion, a little bit of lust, a little bit of pride, a little bit of whatever began to creep in your life, it won't be long. It'll swallow you up. Moses said, you saw it swallow them. And you watched it swallow their household and their tents. In other words, sin didn't just affect them. It affected their home environment. Moses said, you saw that for yourself. Young people, please, don't listen, hang with me. I know I'm going long. I just feel like we hooked up with you for a minute. Listen, you play around with sin, it's going to swallow you up and it will affect your family. Amen. Will you listen? Will you listen to a preacher tonight? And as a father has a broken heart, our children that have made choices that have gone ways that have broke our heart, you mad friend, when you walk away and when you don't do right, listen, you're not going to get bad with it. God is too holy. God's holiness was something they saw for their self. Moses said, you saw it. Don't ever forget it. All of you young people, everybody okay? You have watched, some of you have watched your siblings go down roads that are contrary to the holiness of God. Amen. You've watched what it's done to their life. You've watched what it's done to your parents and your pastor. And what's sad in this day and this hour of social media being so predominant, they're posting and pasting and portraying that everything's good and they're succeeding. I need you to look right here. On the authority of the holiness of God, they're lying to you. They are lying to you. If it's so good and so fun, why do they have to be propped up with pills? If it's so wonderful and they're trying to get you to say, hey, you can go any old way you want, see, we're having a time. That's what they want you to see. They want company in the far country. But if you ever see His holiness for yourself, you'll be like the sons of Korah and say, hey, and getting on the wrong side of the land. I'm gone with God. I've seen Him for myself. Oh, yes, that's right. I'm glad He's a holy God. I'm glad, thank God, He is a pure God. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of our faithfulness. I've done seen it for myself. I've seen it for myself. Isaiah said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Well, the longer he gazed and the longer he saw him for himself, he said, all I could say was them angels saying, he's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. And all of a sudden, Isaiah had to say, I am unworthy. You know what got the holiness of the Lord magnified? Got the Lord's presence magnified in his life and got Isaiah humbled before God. He saw something for himself. Amen. Well, have you seen it for yourself? Amen. I don't know why I'm saying this. It might be, Brother Philbeck would put it this way, if sin had an odor. I'm talking about we got the cream of the crop. But if sin had an odor tonight, Brother Philbeck said we'd have to open the doors and the windows. We wouldn't even be able to stand the stench. Right here in Smoky Mountain Youth Revival, I know the church is right. We're not talking about liberal churches. We're not talking about churches that go to the youth meetings where they sing the contemporary songs, let you girls wear your booty shorts. Come on. We ain't talking about churches that had even come close to associating with stuff like that. And I promise you right here tonight, I promise you tonight, there are young men and young women eat up with lust. Eat up with secrets. You've sold sin. You have sold the pleasures of the flesh and you're attracted. You know what the antidote to all that is? Seeing the holiness of God for yourself. You don't got to browbeat me to live for God tonight. Ain't nobody prodding me, Brother Bailey. Ain't nobody poking at me. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. Because there was a day I saw the holiness of God for myself. Brother Rackley, I'm telling you, it changed my life. Amen. Have you seen it for yourself? Have you seen it for yourself? Well, can I give you one more? I'm going into overtime. Brother Key's still preaching for us. Amen. If I got any say-so, I guess I do. Tell you something. There's not only the privilege, and we see the particulars, but notice with me tonight the performance, or the pronouncement after seeing it for yourself. Verse 7 said, but ye have seen. Look at verse number 8. How's it begin? Therefore. That ties everything, Brother Keith, back into the previous verse. You've seen it for yourself, and because you've seen it for yourself, here's what it's doing in your life. Would you like to hear that? Would you like to hear what, if you could see it for yourself, if you could see God tonight, if you could see truth tonight, if you could see it for yourself, can I tell you what it's going to do for you? Number one, it's going to bring you to live a life of submission. If you ever see it for yourself, your days of rebellion, your days of a stubborn spirit, they are over. God said, therefore, because you've seen it for yourself, therefore ye shall keep the commandments which I command thee this day. God said, I know everybody who has seen it for themselves. God don't have to guilt trip them. Their parents don't have to drag them. Oh no, they are broken. They are humble. And there is a submissive spirit that comes to everybody who sees it for themselves. See, you think your mom and daddy and your preacher and your church and all the rules are the problem in your life. So you don't know me. I know more about you than you think I know. If you could ever see it for yourself. Brother Moss, it would so radically change a submissive spirit. Surrender would be submission and obedience and honor to those that are over us in the Lord. And I'm not talking about dictatorship. I'm just talking about having a mind of the Lord Jesus. If you ever see it for yourself, it'll bring a life of submission. Number two, I like this one. He said, not only is it going to bring submission, it's going to bring strength. He said, therefore ye shall be strong. Those who see him, those who see it, Brother Grant, for themselves, there is a spiritual strength that is put on the inside of them that they won't quit. They won't back down. They won't turn coat and turn tail and run. They ain't looking for a way out. They don't walk around and go, well, you know, church, I got hurt and it's so bad and it's so hard. You know why? Because all you see is them. But if you ever see him, there'll be a strength on the inside. Oh, yes. That'll be something that when everybody else is falling and battling and walking away, and there'll be something on the inside that said, I can't quit. I've seen too much. I've seen him too much. I've seen too much truth. I've seen too much Bible. I've seen too much worship. Because he puts strength on the inside of you. Man, I feel like I've just been. Y'all's generation is so weak. Some of y'all, you get your feelings hurt and you get the poochie lip disease for 6 weeks if somebody gets on you. How you going to deal with the things coming in the next few years? How you going to deal with the things that's coming your way if the Lord don't come back, and I mean real soon? Amen. You need some strength. We need some youngins with some strength. We need some churches with some strength. And that strength is only going to come as you see it for yourself. Therefore, you'll be submissive. Therefore, you will be strong. Amen. Look there in verse number 8 again. Amen. I'm about done. Amen. Sister Candace, if you'll come to the piano, please. Submission and strength. Let me tell you this. This will be something. This will excite you. If you ever see it for yourself, it'll cause you to live a life of success. Moses said, y'all are here in the wilderness. You're here in the plains of Moab with me right now. But you're the crowd that's seen it for yourself. And God's taking you across the Jordan. And God's taking you into Canaan land. And that crowd that could have seen it for themselves 40 years ago and turned away and was unaffected, and they have died now in the wilderness. And now it's your turn because you've seen it for yourself and you're going to go in. What did Moses say? He said, you're going in and you're going to possess the land whither you go to possess it. There, listen, Moses is so dogmatic. He said, because you've seen it for yourself, there is no doubt in my mind you'll succeed when you get into Canaan's land. Amen. You want to live a successful life? You better see it for yourself. You've seen all the failures. You've seen all the dropouts. And listen, God can reach them where they are. And many of those we're praying for all of them. We want them to come back. But can I say, you don't have to fail and then come back to succeed. You ever see it for yourself, it will do something in your life that will cause you to succeed in your life with God. That's pretty good, ain't it? Notice it'll lead you to live a life of sustaining. He said that ye may prolong your days in the land. Prolong your days. Moses said, because you've seen it for yourself, you are going to be sustained in ways that are supernatural. You won't die prematurely. You're not going to be defeated before your time. He is saying, God is going to prolong your days because you have allowed yourself to see Him for yourself. Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of times, Brother Bailey, since I've been saved, had it not been for seeing some things for myself, I do not know how I would have made it. Amen. I'm giving you my heart. Young people, I cannot even tell you. Now, we're going to keep having Smoky Mountain Youth Revival. I'm going to keep getting up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night and preaching my guts out like I am tonight. We're going to keep the choir in the choir loft singing old time music. We're going to have tracks and keep passing them out. And we're going to keep doing what we know to be right. But listen to me. I'm tired of watching young people not make it. And you don't have to be another one. I'm so wore out watching young people come to church, disinterested, never come to the altar unless you are pressured in a high emotional service. Never respond, never sit up, elbow and whisper and Google eye. I cannot tell you how wore out I am watching young people drop like flies. Now that's my problem, okay? But here's what I'm telling you tonight. It don't have to be that way. If you let God open your heart and open your eyes and see it for yourself. Brother Grant and I was talking before service. He is here in 2014, his first time senior year of high school. Still serving the Lord. You know why? Because there's some things as a young man he saw for himself that's still working all these years later. Seth Townsend, I said Sunday night, he's like a stray pup. He just keeps coming back. Just keep showing back up. Young man, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Let me word it that way. I'm thankful for you. Evidently, there's something years ago you saw for yourself that changed your life and it sustains you. Amen. He's staying at our house several days. I'd be up at 6:30 in the morning. That young man already up with his Bible out, sitting there getting something from God. Let me tell you something. He's got something sustaining him that you could have tonight. But you're going to have to see it for yourself. It'll bring sustaining. And then if I had strength and time tonight, I'd preach on it to lead to a life of satisfaction. Here's what Moses said. You've seen it for yourself. God going to give you all the milk and honey you can handle. He ain't bringing you a little handful of honey. He's taking you to a land that is full of it. He's got milk everywhere. He got something that'll be sweet to your soul. He's got something that'll satisfy and fill you. If you ever see it for yourself, He'll satisfy every longing you've got. I'm satisfied, satisfied. I don't need nothing this world trying to cram down my throat tonight. Hallelujah, I've seen Him for myself. I'm full tonight. I'm full. I'm satisfied. Glory to God. You won't be satisfied running on somebody else's vision. But if you ever see it for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, the devil say, what about this? You say, no, I done saw it for myself. Hey, man, the world say, what about this? Come on down here with us. No, thank you, I done seen it for myself. I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied. Hey, man, that's what David said. He satisfied my mouth with good things. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that we can see them for ourselves? If you ever do. We talk about this world, and I've talked about it tonight. It's bad. We talk about, man, I feel sorry for these youngins growing up in this, and they's a part of that that's true. Brother Poindexter, I just believe tonight, if they ever see it for themselves, it don't matter if it gets 10 times worse, they'll be fine. I'm trying to land. You talking about your favorite part was being on the runway getting ready to take off. Mine's trying to find a place to land, Brother Keith. I'm enjoying the hand. I feel like God's helping us tonight. I feel like He's wanting somebody to see Him tonight. I really believe with all my heart, He's wanting somebody to say, oh, that's what Mama's been talking about. That's what Daddy's been trying to get me to see. Woo! Hallelujah! That's what that preacher man screaming about. Oh, I see it, I see it, I see it for myself. Glory to God. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Praise God, I've seen it for myself. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Satisfied. Satisfied. I've seen Him. I'm satisfied. Oh yes. Talk about all that out there all you want. Ain't nothing out there for me. Amen. Have you seen Him for yourself? You've got to. You've got to see Him for yourself. Young man, have you seen Him? Young lady, have you seen it? Let me ask this. I'm done. This altar's open. But who's in your eyes view right now tonight that's keeping you from seeing it for yourself? What is in your eyes view tonight that is keeping you from seeing it yourself? Tonight you have a responsibility before Almighty God to respond to the opportunities He's given you. Have you seen it for yourself? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.